Hello, this is Jennifer Williams, Program Manager at the Scottish Poetry Library, and I would like to wish you a very happy new year. As I was trying to decide what our first podcast for 2015 would be, I had a look back in some of our recordings from 2014 that hadn't been edited yet, and one of them that leapt out at me was a recording I had done with Salma, who was one of the poets involved in our Commonwealth United project that took place last year. The Commonwealth Poets United Project was an international exchange project between six Scottish poets and poets from six Commonwealth nations, including Canada, India, Jamaica, New Zealand, Nigeria, and South Africa. And it was wonderful and established relationships between artists, organizations, and communities through a culturally enriching exchange of poetry and wonderful people. It was such a treat to meet Salma, but her story is one that is also terrifying, upsetting, and deeply inspiring. And in this time that we're living in, when many political situations seem to be aflame at the very least, and when the economy still seems to be in tatters, and when many people I know seem to feel a bit at sea, I was thinking, listening again to Salma's deeply moving story about the power that poetry does have to inspire people and to really change people's lives in the world. So I thought this would be the perfect podcast to share with you for the beginning of this new year, and hopefully to bring people hope and to inspire them to change their lives and to help other people whose lives are difficult. Salma was born in a small village in southern India, and because of the traditions in that village, she was actually imprisoned, one could say, certainly kept inside until her 18th birthday when she was married, and then her husband also kept her inside for a number of years following their marriage. So within that very restrictive life, she had found poetry at an early age and continued secretly to write, and eventually became an important member of the Tamil writing community. She has a number of books out, and perhaps the one that might be easiest to get a hold of at the moment is published with OR Books, O-R Books, in 2013. And it was produced to accompany a film documenting Salma's life by the director Kim Longinotto. And the book is called Salma, Filming a Poet in Her Village, and is a nice combination of Salma's story and some of her poems in translation. I really hope that you enjoy this podcast and hearing Salma speak in her own voice and her own words about her story. And I hope that in 2015 you find your voice in poetry, or voices in poetry, that move and inspire you to make the world a better place.
You're listening to a Scottish Poetry Library podcast.
இந்த வாழ்வை இன்றைக்கில்லையெனில் நாளை, நாளைக்கில்லையெனில் மற்றும் ஒரு நாள், இப்படித்தான் தெரியும் இந்த வாழ்வை நினைவு தெரிந்த நாள் முதலாய். இப்படித்தான் தெரியும் இந்த வாழ்வை நினைவு தெரிந்த நாள் முதலாய்.
Did you want it in English?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Okay.
Is it in the book, that one?
Small.
It is beautiful, the sound is so beautiful.
Yeah, that language is very poetical. Yeah.
Do the poems in Tamil, do they rhyme?
Rhyming.
See, that's what's interesting, isn't it? You wouldn't know from the translation that they rhyme. It's often
translation, translation is very difficult to come out all the power from the original. Contract this poem. My sister hisses at me in anger what my mother whispers tactfully, that all failures on the conjugal bed are mine alone. The first words I hear every night in the bedroom. What's with you tonight? These are most often the final words too. A finger points to over his butter upon the air of tomorrow's nights, awaiting redemption from 10 million glowing stars. Float words of wise counsel. Unable to feed its young, the cat sobs like a child, and its wail seizes my heart. You too must have your complaints. My stand, though, has been made clear by time and history. To receive a little of your love, dreary though it might be, to fulfill my duties as the mother of your child, to have you bring sanitary towels and contraceptives from the outside world, and to seek more such petty favors, to order you around a bit, if I could, to affirm a little of my authority. My vagina opens, knowing all that it should.
That line about the cat, you can't feed its young, it's heartbreaking in the middle of that poem.
This poem was wrote 1995, I think. This poem is more controversial poem. As a woman writer, as a Muslim woman writer, I spoke about vagina, and there's a history of the politics of the women and body, everything. The people, they are more angry with me.
Mm-hmm.
After this poem, the very brave poem, everybody is more, like this poem, many people, many writers gave the support on me. Then so many writers, women writers, they continue the kind of writing style. They continue their writing like this. I broke the silence with this poem. And you know, so many writers, so many poems came out, so many criticism also. But it's nice. We can open something for.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's extraordinary, the power of that, because even in, you know, I'm thinking about in English poetry, there's maybe a poet like Sharon Olds, who's very open about women's bodies, and but it's not that, it's not even that much in, you know, when you're not in a culture, that, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, in some ways, I think these taboos exist.
Yes.
Probably around the world,
yeah,
you know, even
everywhere.
To say the word vagina feels
everywhere.
A bit like,
This is taboo everywhere. Human writers only facing these kind of problems.
Mm.
When the men are doing like this, the people, they don't aware about it, they don't care about the writings. But they, when the women, they want to write her own, the people, they want to control her.
Mm.
They want to control her life. They want to control her writings. They want to control her thoughts. And this is our problem. Men dominated society. Why the Sylvia Plath and so many feminist writers they are celebrated by us, you know. The writings are very bold. They are inspiration of us, you know. They are the inspiration of us. Still, they are the legend. In front of us. Not many, but only few people.
Yes. Can you name some women who are, women writers who are inspirational for you?
I had a small library in my village. I visited before 12 to 13 years old, I can visit outside, I can go. No, after that, I cannot go outside.
Mm.
Then after I was in the house, 13 to 20, my age, I read many Russian literature. One of the most, I like that poet, she was a Anna Akhmatova. She was a very wonderful poet and also she was a fighter.
Yes.
She fought with the Stalin government. She was one of the inspiration of mine. And other some Tamil, our own language, and our neighbor language in Malayalam, some other poets inspired me by me. Kamala Das, she was one of the most famous women poet in Malayalam. Not my language, but translation we can read. And our own language, many poets, I told about some ancient poets. They were Avayar and Karaikalamayar. So many women poets were. I can read, I can get something from them.
What was the name of the village you grew up in?
Thuvarangurichi.
I don't know if I
can you,
say it.
Can you tell me again? Okay. Thuvarangurichi. Can you repeat?
Thuvarangurichi?
Yeah. Thuvarangurichi.
Thuvarangurichi.
Yeah, you are. Perfect.
So you grew up there and in your village when you're young, girls and boys go to school together.
Yeah.
But then when girls get to a certain age and have their first period, you're not allowed literally out of the house anymore up until when you're married. So for many years, you have to stay inside.
Yeah.
And then for you, even when you did get married, when you were 18, you still, your husband then had you staying inside for a long time.
Yeah.
This must be so hard.
Yeah, before the marriage, we could not go outside.
And is this very ancient?
So 9 years.
This has been happening for...
Yeah, every woman.
Gosh.
Yeah. 9 years I was inside of the house. That time only I can realize what is the gender discrimination we are having. How the women are facing a lot of problem. What kind of lifestyle they are having. My views and the thoughts has to change that time only. Then after the wedding, I was in with my husband house. Not much change in the life, no. We are in the other house. We are sitting, we are cooking, we are take care of the husband and the in-laws and the children. We could not do a lot of many activities. Only weekly ones or monthly ones, we can go out for a wedding or some other hospital. Like,
okay,
we can go out with Parda. It's not much.
Not much freedom.
Yeah, freedom. But as a writer, I was buried myself all the... as a writer, my husband, my in-law family, they don't like my writing. As a writer, I could not stay with them. It's very difficult. Every day I'm fighting with this kind of things. That's why I didn't tell about my writing and anything.
Because you were writing almost
without
in
their
secret,
knowledge,
weren't you?
Yeah, without their knowledge, I continue my writing that time. That is the problem. I am 25 years as a writer. I didn't show my identity to anyone. No one knows about I'm a writer, I'm doing my writing.
It's very brave of you to keep writing that.
Yeah, I don't want to fight every day. That's why I don't tell anything about my writing. And after the 25 years, I was buried myself, all the identities. I didn't show anyone. Then after I was 33 years old, I can enter the politics. Everybody knows me, all the activities.
So you got to be actually you were put up for election in the local elections because they decided that year to have women
only women, in the women reservation candidate, I can come out from the house, from the all the things.
So that opened things
opened
up
all
for you.
Doors, otherwise, still maybe I could not imagine.
The
election helped me.
Happened.
Yes.
And when did you first... Did you first read poetry? Because you were reading from very young. Was that in school you first read poetry or in the library? Or?
No, I was interested about the reading. I don't know why. When I got any magazines, I can read any time. I was I went to my teacher's house. I can find out a magazine, I said, and I read the books, so everything, no? Everybody is laughing, Salma is always going behind of the books. Now I was 7th, studied in 7th standard, I wrote a small story.
Okay.
And that is my first writing. I wrote a story, I sent to a magazine. Regularly I used to read that magazine, no? One magazine we are received from outside. That magazine, they refused to publish my I was very sad about that. But that story was very bad story. The story spoke about the husbands, brought up the husbands. No,
wow.
The women are like a slave. They should live like the slave. I don't like that story.
But obviously this was on your mind even from a very young age.
I was very young. Then after many years before, that same magazine requested many times, please write, I don't like that magazine. No?
Oh.
That's not a serious magazine. No, that's not a good magazine. No? That's not a literary magazine.
Yes.
I don't like that magazine. Then I refused a lot. Please, please, they asked many times. Then I wrote, 1 year, I wrote every year, every week article about women issues. I was social welfare board chairperson. I met a lot of women. They are coming with many problems. I wrote that stories, what kind of problem women are facing, what kind of solution we can give to them. Many women, they are sending many letters to me. That magazine address. I collected all the letters. I put it all the stories, and I spoke with like a counseling.
I should mention so Salma has a beautiful book here. We've got it now in the library. It's called Filming a Poet in Her Village, and she worked with Kim Longinotto, how you say her name? A filmmaker called Kim Longinotto, who spent time with you and made a documentary about your life and your writing. So we were just saying, at the moment you can get this book, it's by Orr Books, www.orrbooks.com, it's called Salma, to learn a bit more about Salma. And this film is showing, for instance, this week at the Glasgow Film Festival, but if you missed that, there will be various showings for the next probably about a year and a half, and then after that, hopefully the film will be available on DVD.
Yeah, of course.
And we're hoping Salma doesn't have, apart from this, I don't think there's much translated into English yet, but we're hoping a lot more of the work will be translated into English. So if there's any publishers or translators out there,
I'm waiting for the publishers.
We're waiting for them to come because there's quite a lot of work ready to be translated. And I certainly would like to hear more of it in translation. Shall we maybe have another poem in Tamil and English?
Of course.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Yes.
It is. This book is wonderful because it both has some of Salma's poems in, but it also has various essays about you and your work in it.
Yes, of course. In Tamil, I can read few lines, and after that, I can read in English. First midnight. This is Irandam Jamangalin Kadai called in Tamil. Irandam Jamangalin Kadai. குழந்தைகளை பெற்றதற்கு பிந்தைய இரவுகளில் அதிருப்தியுற்று தேடுகிறாய் என் அழகின் களங்கமின்மையை. ரொம்பவும் தான் அருவறுப்பூட்டுவதாய் சொல்கிறாய். பெருத்த உடலும் பிரசவ கோடுகள் நிரம்பிய வயிறும் எப்போதும் என்றும் மாறுவதில்லை உனது உடல் என்றும். உண்மைதான். ஃபாஸ்ட் மிட் நைட். In the days after my pregnancy and childbirth, you search dissatisfied through the familiar nudity of our nights for my beauty's unblemished past. My bloated body and belly creased by stretch marks are truly repulsive. You tell me, and that my body will not change. Not now, not ever. My voice, long buried in a throe of silence, mutters to itself, yes, it's true, your body is not at all like mine, with its fanfare and its flagrancy. In the years past, you might have had children by strange women in unfamiliar lands. No traces are left on you. Of course, you can be proud of that. What can I do? These stretch marks are the same as my decline. Not so easy to repair or mend. This body is not paper you can cut and recraft. Nature's betrayal of me has been far more terrible than yours. It was you, after all, who commenced the first phase of my downfall. The hours after midnight, when dreams grow and surge, are far more calamitous than the hours before. Now it's past midnight, leaving his quiet watch inside a mirror. The tiger climbs onto my headboard and sits there, staring at me.
Library podcast. For further information about the Scottish Poetry Library, visit our website at www.scottishpoetrylibrary.org.uk, follow us on Twitter at By Leaves We Live, and find us on Facebook.